Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A count of early and question ballots yesterday has flipped the lead from Republicans to Democrats in two close Fairbanks state legislative races. Down by 79 votes after last Tuesday's election, House District 1 Democratic candidate Catherine Dodge now leads Republican Bart Laban by 10 votes. Updated results posted on the Division of Elections website for Fairbanks Senate CA show Democrat Scott Kawasaki erasing an 11-vote election night deficit and now leading Republican incumbent Pete Kelly by 152 votes. As KUAC's Robin reports, there are still hundreds of absentee votes to be tallied.
Brittany Hartman is Republican Bart Laban's campaign manager for House District 1.
This week has been full of excitement and questions and just waiting, a lot of waiting.
She watched Laban's election night total go up 80 more votes yesterday to a running total of 2529. But 2539 is the running total for Catherine Dodge, a Democrat. With that race only 10 votes apart, there is still more waiting, at least until Friday, when the first count of absentee ballots is totaled. Yesterday's count was just the questioned and early ballots gathered from polling places around the state. Questioned ballots are put in envelopes at the polling place where they were cast. These were sent to the Fairbanks Election Office, where Director Jeremy Johnson coordinates the review board, the four or five folks who take the ballots out of the envelopes and stick them in the AccuVote machines.
We look at the outside of the envelope with their information written on it. We open those envelopes and separate the ballot, which is still inside that privacy secrecy sleeve, and make two separate piles. Thereby, you can never associate an individual's vote with their ballot.
Yesterday's count loosened a tight 11-vote election night lead held by Republican Senate seat A's incumbent, Pete Kelly, and put Democrat Scott Kawasaki ahead by 152 votes. A significant lead, but one that could still be reduced when absentee ballots are counted on Friday.
You know, it's still sort of pins and needles for both me and Senator Kelly, but we're hopeful that this election can be finalized by the end of this week.
Kawasaki is still fundraising to pay for an attorney, Patrick Munson, hired to review the balloting, as well as campaign workers.
We didn't think the election was going to go on a week and a half after, and so it's important that my folks that are paid staff get paid.
Reneva Moss of the Kelly campaign declined the microphone, but she said she believes questioned and early votes skew toward Democrats and absentee votes skew toward Republicans. If that's true and Kelly pulls ahead after Friday's count, he will be one of 13 Republican senators and 7 Democratic senators. It gets a little more interesting in the House because if Dodge maintains her lead, she would be the 20th Democrat in the House, splitting that body right down the middle, leaving it without a working majority. When asked about her strategy, Dodge says she needs to win first.
We get through this gate and then I talk to them, is what I would say.
After Friday's 10-day count, there will be another 15-day count, and the target to certify the election is November 23rd. After that, any candidate who thinks things are too close can request a recount. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The new owner of the Pogo Mine is holding a town hall meeting tonight in Delta Junction. Northern Star Resources spokeswoman Wendy McNaughton says the gathering is to introduce company officials and talk with area residents.
We'd just like to invite the community to come out and do a meet and greet and get to know Northern Star Resources and learn a little bit about our values and our goals and what we can expect over the next coming months and years and ask any questions they might have.
McNaughton says Northern Star Chief Operating Officer Luke Cray and another executive with the Australia-based company, as well as Pogo officials, will be at the meeting. Pogo is an underground gold mine 35 miles northeast of Delta, which employs 350 people. McNaughton says the company will lay out its general plan for the mine's future.
Kind of what direction that Northern Star is going.
Tonight's meeting is at the Delta Community Center and starts at 5 p.m. Land originally targeted for development of an interior veteran cemetery may go up for sale. The Alaska Department of Natural Resources has proposed selling 320 acres located in the Goldstream Valley north of Fairbanks. Tim Schilling with the DNR land sales section says the property located north of Goldstream Road near Fox was originally purchased by the Alaska Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, but it did not meet specifications for a cemetery.
As I understand, it was primarily the soil structure that was not suitable for that.
Schilling says land access was also a problem for the cemetery, which is now slated for property off the park's highway. He says proceeds from sale of the Goldstream land will benefit the Veteran Cemetery project.
They've asked us to sell this property to help fund and support the creation of the Military Veteran Cemetery out west of Esther.
Schilling says the DNR is proposing to offer the Goldstream property either as a single tract or two equal-sized parcels.
So we can sell the northerly 160 separate from the southerly 160.
He says the sale proposal also includes access across state land via what's currently a trail off Goldstream Road.
Authorize that access from Goldstream Road directly up to it. Or in the future, if somebody did choose to subdivide it any further, that would be legal access for that purpose.
The property is zoned general use, and Schilling says the state has mineral rights on the southern portion of the land, while the University of Alaska owns the subsurface on the northern half.
The southerly tract we're going to close so that no new mining claims can be staked in that area, so there would be no conflicts. And then with the northerly one, it's the prerogative of the university, and I don't believe that they have any plans to develop the mineral estate.
The land sale proposal is out for public comment through November 28th. If approved, the acreage will be offered during a sealed bid auction open to Alaska residents only next spring. The minimum bid will be based on a yet-to-be-conducted independent appraisal. If the land does not sell at auction, it will be offered again over the counter to any qualified buyer. Unusual winter weather like rain is becoming more common in Alaska as the climate warms, and that's prompted the State Department of Transportation to adapt, as the Alaska Energy Desk's Elizabeth Jenkins reports. That includes techniques like using salt brine to thaw icy roads.
To assume this is a simple operation would be wrong. The trucks and some roads are outfitted with a sophisticated network of sensors that can detect the temperature of the asphalt. This tells the drivers the ideal time to dispense the salt brine.
These guys can be always busy depending on a storm event.
That's Tom Gurman, the superintendent of the Department of Transportation in Anchorage. He started at DOT more than a decade ago and says this refined strategy to combat ice wasn't around then. Gurman begins his day with a cup of coffee and an email notification of those temperature readings.
I can recall a time we would have maybe one good freezing rain event a winter. And then several winters ago, those were really prevalent.
So at the Department of Transportation, over the past few years, we've definitely noticed a shift in climate.
Meadow Bailey is an Alaska Department of Transportation spokesperson. And she says the agency has been forced to switch up the way it maintains its roads. Climate change has made it harder and more expensive to keep up. There's the freezing rain, of course, but there have been other issues, like damage to roads built on thawing permafrost and events the department couldn't have anticipated. In 2015, the Dalton Highway flooded due to an extreme weather event. That limited access to the North Slope for weeks.
Totally unique scenario nobody had ever heard of or thought of or could plan for.
Keep in mind, this is all happening at a time when the state's Department of Transportation has seen drastic budget cuts. Dan Shocker, the superintendent in Fairbanks, recalls a time when his department spent $750,000 more than normal.
We had five consecutive months during the winter that we had measurable rain in Fairbanks, which is unheard of. And that's something that we are changing our methods to respond to.
The Fairbanks DOT was the pilot project for the salt brine trucks, which Anchorage has now adopted. It's part of a list of efficiencies the department has incorporated, including the high-tech temperature gauges. Shocker admits the brine solution wasn't popular initially with some drivers who were worried about it corroding their cars, but it's a common treatment in the lower 48. As for this winter, climatologists expect warm, wet conditions which can refreeze into ice. The Department of Transportation will likely stay busy. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins reporting in Anchorage.
And I'm Dan Bross.